जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य। Hare Rama. Thank you. ನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಯಾಧಾರ ಮನ ಹರಿ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಯಾಧಾರ ಮನ ಹರಿ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಯಾಧಾರ ಮನ ಹರಿ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಯಾಧಾರ ಮನ ಹರಿ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಯಾಧಾರ ಮನ ಹರಿ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಯಾಧಾರ ಮನ ಹರಿ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಯಾಧಾರ ಮನ ಹರಿ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಯಾಧಾರ ಮನ ಹರಿ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಯಾಧಾರ ಮನ ಹರಿ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋವಿಂದ 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 ಗೋಪಾಲ 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 ಗೋವಿಂದ 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 ಗೋಪಾಲ 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 ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ
సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంత కోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి మామాచార్య శ్రీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సోహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Shri Bhakti Vidhanda Swami Dinamini. Sri Saraswati Devam. Gauravani Pracharane. Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashati Deshatarini. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ్య గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాల్. श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयम् प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थम् भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयम् सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यम् दासोऽहम् तव केशवा भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्स्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वम् नो यदप्रभो नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःखशमनम् तम् नमामि हरिम् परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराल् तेने ब्रह्म हृद य आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यल्सूरयाः तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृष धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित कैदवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणाम् सताम् वेद्यम् वास्तवम् अत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किम् वा परैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पदरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबदा भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमाम् यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेदम् अपेदकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमाजुहाव पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् आनदोऽस्मि यत्स्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथिदीर्षदाम् तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्यासूनम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणु कोणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाजि विजृम्भदाम् मुरारे मधुरिम् न कनिकापि कापि काभिम् नमाम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वति देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्याम् नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणाम् पादरेणुमभीष्णश यासाम् हरिगदोल्गीतम् पुनाति भुवनत्रयम् गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरम् करविराजितचक्रशङ्खम् कौमोदगी सरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वातालये शमनिशम् हृदि भावयामि कोमलम् कूजयन् वेणुम् श्यामलोऽयम् कुमारग वेदवेद्यपरम् ब्रह्म भासताम् पुरतो मम मूकम् करोति वाजालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयदे गिरिम् यल्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमते राधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गो गोविंद। Before I start today, just wanted to let you know that we could continue the classes on Bhagavad Gita here from next Saturday, that is 23rd of October, and I wanted to discuss Bhagavad Gita here for a long time, but somehow or the other it did not happen. So I have to take it that only now Krishna has given me the permission to discuss Bhagavad Gita with the devotees and to discuss Bhagavad Gita. I have thought that we could discuss one chapter every Saturday, and hopefully we should finish in about 22 weeks or 23 weeks, something like that, because 18 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita with one introduction one day, and for questions and other discussions later on. So we'll begin on next Saturday, which is 23rd of October, evening at 7:30 till 9:30. So 7:30 to 9:30 from next Saturday, we'll discuss Bhagavad Gita. Apart from Srimad Bhagavatam, will continue as it is, but we'll start with Bhagavad Gita because for various reasons. One, Bhagavad Gita is the basic text for Krishna consciousness. Everything is centered around Bhagavad Gita. And a good understanding of Bhagavad Gita will help to understand Srimad Bhagavatam Ekadasha Skandam also. The 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is basically an expansion of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, when he realized that what he could speak to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra was limited, so he had to explain in more detail to Uddhava later, with the sole intention that those who want to follow the process of Krishna consciousness to go back home, back to spiritual world, they have all the information what is necessary in this world. So the Bhagavad Gita and the 11th canto, Ekadasha Skandam or Srimad Bhagavatam, together give all the instructions what Krishna has left behind in this world for those who are inquiring after Krishna. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita is a very important Vedic literature. And we'll talk about that, why Bhagavad Gita is so important, in the first lesson on Saturday. But for the moment, I will only say to thanks Krishna for the kindness, what he has shown to us, that we are allowed to discuss Bhagavad Gita here in front of Gokulananda and Srila Prabhupada, that this important part of the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita, so that we understand at least something what Krishna has tried to tell us through Bhagavad Gita. So I will only say that much today, and we'll start on next Saturday at 7:30 here, and for another 22 to 23 weeks or so, we should be able to go through Bhagavad Gita enough to prepare ourselves for the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So coming back to our Srimad Bhagavatam, where we stopped last Sunday, was that Kamsa has requested Akrura to go to Vrindavanam and to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. This is where we stopped. And almost we are coming to a close of the pastimes in Vrindavanam. Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavanam is coming to an end. And that is very obvious, because the rasa dance was the most important pastime of Krishna in Vrindavanam. And after that, there is there's only one or two incidents which Sukadeva Goswami just skips through in a rush. But then this important topic comes immediately after that. That is taking Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, for which Akrura was sent there. This is one of the most fascinating topics in Bhagavatam. Why it is most fascinating is, in fact, Bhagavatam is all fascinating. All over Srimad Bhagavatam is fascinating discussions of the devotees and their relationships with Krishna. But particularly this particular pastime of Akrura is representing the Dasya Bhakti or the servitude to Krishna. How to serve Krishna as a servant, as a good servant, and how a servant should be, that is what is coming through this personality, Akrura. Akrura is also teaching us many other things, what can happen in our relationship with Krishna. When you make progress in spiritual life, what kind of difficulties can come on that way, and how things can disturb our spiritual life and temporary fall downs, and so many things Akrura has taught us in this particular pastime of with Krishna. So, before we go to that, we were mentioning that Kamsa was requesting Akrura to go to Mathura and to bring Krishna and Balaram. At the same time, there was a demon by name Keshi. Keshi was living in Mathura, who was a very close associate of Krishna. Kamsa. And this Keshi came to know that Akrura is being deputed to go to Vrindavan and to bring Krishna and Balaram. And as soon as he came to know, he mentioned to Kamsa that let me go and see these two boys in Vrindavanam, what they are up to. And I will see what I can do with them. And only after that you could send Akrura there. Kamsa said that's fine, because Keshi was a very powerful personality. And so Kamsa allowed him to go, and Keshi came to see Krishna. And we said that before, that when Keshi arrived in Vrindavanam, Krishna already knew that what his intentions were, and Keshi was killed in the next chapter. That is what is discussed there, how Krishna killed Keshi in Vrindavanam when he came there. At the same time when this incident happened, Sri Narada Maharshi went to see Kamsa and spoke to him after a long time since he left Kamsa. At the time of appearance, Narada Muni said to Kamsa, I'll come back later. And that's how he left. Now that he has come back again to see Kamsa. So Kamsa wanted to hear from Narada Muni why he went missing for so long. And Narada Muni told Kamsa, the reason was that I didn't have any precise information about where Vishnu has taken birth. And he was concerned about that. So now I've got the proper information, so I've come back. So he says to Narada Muni, tell me what it is. And Narada Muni said to him that it is these two boys, Krishna and Balaram, children of Vasudeva, who are growing up in Vrindavanam, who are your enemies. They are going to kill you. And when he gave this information to Kamsa, Kamsa was very perturbed. He wanted to kill Vasudeva and Devaki immediately. And Narada Muni stopped him from doing that. Narada Muni said to Kamsa, there is no point in killing Vasudeva and Devaki. They cannot help you, because even if you kill them, you are going to get killed by Krishna and Balaram. It is Krishna and Balaram that you have to take care of. So Kamsa locked up Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison. And at the same time, he was discussing who should go. So it was then that it was decided that a devotee should go. And then they were inquiring who could be the devotee. And Narada Muni and others recommended that Akrura may be a right person to go. Akrura was living in fear that he is a devotee of Krishna, but he is under the payroll, or the salary was paid by Kamsa. So you can see his awkward situation, that Akrura cannot do anything about it. Akrura was in real fear, what's going to happen, how Kamsa will treat him. But as I mentioned in the last Sunday, that Akrura's good fortune has come. The good fortune is the very person whom Akrura thought is causing as a problem for him in seeing Krishna. Akrura wanted to come and see Krishna long before. As soon as he came to know that Krishna has come to Vrindavanam and he is Vasudeva's son, all these things were known to Akrura. And Akrura's brother is Vasudeva, and Akrura knew who Krishna is. Everything was known to him through Vasudeva and Devaki. Already he knew. And Akrura had no difficulty in surrendering to Krishna and into taking his shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. But poor Akrura, who could not do that because of Kamsa. Kamsa was holding him back. He was frightened that Kamsa may do something about it. And if he comes to know that Akrura is related to Krishna, so Akrura was very much doing everything in privacy without the knowledge of Kamsa. But when Kamsa came to know that Akrura is a devotee of Krishna, Kamsa didn't do anything about it to Akrura. Rather, he decided to use Akrura for his advantage by sending him to Vrindavanam to get him. So, the interesting point here is that this is how Krishna's hands work in this world. We do not know how Krishna does things. We have no idea. Many times, big men, they make big plans in this world. But Krishna's plans are always different. Just like you can see here, Akrura thought that Kamsa is my problem, is obstacle in my way of going back to Krishna. And Krishna has made the very... Akrura thought Kamsa is the problem. But Krishna has made the very Kamsa to be the person who was encouraging Akrura to come to see Krishna in Vrindavanam. So this is what has actually affected Akrura very much. So what happened was that when Akrura was told by Kamsa that he should go to Vrindavanam, Akrura was in a little bit concerned. But what is Kamsa up to? He came to know what Kamsa's plans were, that Kamsa was sending Akrura to get Krishna and Balaram there, and his intention was also to arrange a big festival called Dhanuryagam. Dhanuryagam means that Kamsa had this nature of worshipping a bow, a big bow that was kept there in his palace. Actually, Kamsa's plans were different. Kamsa was a devotee of Lord Shiva. How became a Lord Shiva's devotee is that Lord Shiva has a plenary expansion known as Kala Bhairava. So this Kala Bhairava is worshipped by the demons. The demons worship him because by worshipping Kala Bhairava, they acquire sufficient strength to fight with their enemies. And the way they worship Kala Bhairava was, there was a bow that was kept in the presentation of Kala Bhairava and kept it in his temple room where he was worshipped. So Kamsa's intention is that if I take shelter of Lord Shiva, maybe Vishnu may not be able to do anything to me. So this is when he came to know that Vishnu was actually planning to kill him, to kill Kamsa, who was originally Kalanemi. Kamsa decided that I may take shelter of Lord Shiva, who will protect me from Vishnu. He did not know that Lord Shiva himself is the devotee of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing anything, Kamsa decided to continue with this worship, and he arranged a big festival in his temple, which is known as Dhanuryagam. Dhanuryagam means there was a big festival which was organized, and for that festival, he wanted to invite everybody. This was his own crooked plan to get Krishna and Balaram there. And rather than coming to Vrindavanam and fighting with Krishna and Balaram, Narada Muni gave the advice to him, it will be possible to bring them here in the palace, and here we can kill them easily. And for that purpose, he arranged also Chanura and Mushtiya, the two wrestlers, and arranged a big fighting there, a wrestling match. And he told Akrura that we should invite Krishna and Balaram to come and see this match, along with Nanda Maharaj and all the other cowherd men from Vrindavanam. This is how that invitation was given to Akrura. And also, Kamsa told Akrura that he shouldn't say anything to Krishna or Balaram or Nanda Maharaj, that Krishna and Balaram is being invited for the sake of seeing the festival only, not with the purpose of fighting with them or any wrestling. But in that process, we'll get them here and kill them. This was his plan. So he said all this to Akrura. Akrura was, you can imagine Akrura's mind, how it will be, that he wanted to go and see Krishna. He wanted to go and see, pay his obeisances to Krishna and take and receive, get some mercy from Krishna. This is what Akrura wanted. And here he has to go with a message to bring them over and to cheat them and to bring them over here. And after bringing them over, Kamsa had his devious plans to kill Krishna and Balaram. And this was a particular Ekadashi day this happened. So on Ekadashi day is this instruction given to Akrura by Kamsa. Not only that, Kamsa also told Akrura that you can take my chariot as well. As a, you know, like big people, when they want some mission to be accomplished, they'll find someone to do it and they'll give all facilities to him to do it. Even if the plan may be very, very devious plans and demoniac plans, but to execute the plan, they want someone. So he has found Akrura for this purpose, to do this plan, to execute the plan. So he handed over his chariot also to Akrura. Akrura took the chariot and went home that Ekadashi day. When he got home, Akrura got into thinking about this whole interesting part of his life of going and seeing Krishna. So when he got home, Ekadashi day is fasted. And naturally, Ekadashi night, he also didn't sleep, thinking about Krishna. That he was going to see Krishna, the very Supreme Personality whom he has been, whose holy names he has been chanting, and whom he has worshipped all along his life. He is going to get the first opportunity to meet Krishna. Actually, this part of Srimad Bhagavatam will tell you how a devotee should prepare himself while going to see Krishna. This is the beautiful part of the Srimad Bhagavatam here. That his arrangement is such that this Akrura's mind, how it was going through, what it was going through for the whole night, preparing for the journey to Vrindavanam to see Krishna and Balaram. And that mental, the process of mind working in that whole night, Sudeva Goswami has described in the Srimad Bhagavatam for other devotees to understand and to follow. That this is what is expected from a devotee. When he is going to see Krishna, this is how his mind should be engaged in. This is continuously Akrura was thinking, I am going to see Krishna tomorrow. And what made Akrura so fascinating about it was that all along in his life, he had been thinking about Kamsa, such a demon. And that demon is telling him now, you go and see Krishna. You can imagine what an amount of happiness that has brought into Akrura's mind. Only a devotee can understand this. A devotee wants to go and see Krishna. He wants to hear about Krishna and wants to think about Krishna. This is a devotee's mind. And all of a sudden, Krishna himself makes some arrangement for the devotee to come and see him. And how will a devotee will feel about it? Only a devotee can appreciate these things, not otherwise. So you can see here that Akrura's mind was so peaceful, but at the same time thinking about how Krishna was working in this world, moving everyone in different ways and encouraging Akrura to come and see him in Vrindavanam. With the very thought of that, made Akrura in tremendous ecstasy. He started feeling so ecstatic about it, and he was thinking about it and did not know what to say to Krishna. He was thinking all these things in his mind the whole night, he thought. He never slept. So it was a fantastic Ekadashi for him. Invitation from Krishna to come. A demon Kamsa is telling him to go, and the whole night fasting and not sleeping, staying away from sleep as it is necessary on an Ekadashi day. It's meant to be like that. Whole night spending thinking about Krishna. What more can you have better Ekadashi than that? So all these things happened. And in the morning, which is a Dwadashi day, what is known as Dwadashi Parana. That means you break the fast on Dwadashi. Generally the fast is broken around the midday with one meal a day on Dwadashi, middle of the day. But they have to break the fast sometime during the morning. So Akrura bathed himself, and he decided to break the fast when he gets to Vrindavanam. That was in his mind. So as I said here, Akrura got into the chariot in the morning, Dwadashi day. The next day was the Dwadashi day. He got into the chariot, but his mind was elsewhere. He did not know which way to go. Vrindavanam is not that far from Mathura. As everybody knows, Vrindavanam is only 10-12 kilometers from Mathura, which is about 6 or 7 miles. But here, Akrura got into the chariot, but actually Sudeva Goswami says there, although Akrura got into the chariot, he got into his mental chariot. That is how it's mentioned. His mind was somewhere else. Mind was with Krishna all the time. He could not think anything else except about Krishna. That this opportunity has come to him to go and see Krishna. The mental chariot also means, that means that he has also got two wheels. What were these two wheels of this mental chariot? Says there that one wheel, Sya Achyuta Darshanam, I'll go and see Krishna. He was thinking like that. I'm going to see Krishna. That very happiness, you can imagine in a life in a devotee's case, that at the very last minute, you are getting an opportunity to see Krishna in this life. How glorious that moment is. Only a devotee can understand this. Because throughout the life, you are preparing only one thing for, to come to, to realize Krishna. That is the goal of the life. And you have spent all your lifetime in that process to please Krishna. And eventually Krishna is given an opportunity to come and see him. He is inviting you to come. And when that happens, how nice a devotee will feel. And this is exactly what was going through Akrura's mind. So Akrura was thinking, Syala Chuda Darshanam, I will see Krishna. Because why? After all, why should I not see Krishna? He was thinking like this. He says, why should I not see Krishna? When I go there, Krishna will receive me nicely. Krishna is also my brother's son. And when I, so many things continuously coming through Akrura's mind. Akrura's mind, one after the other. How he will fall down when he sees Krishna. This is first he explains there. How he is going to fall down when he sees Krishna on the ground and pay his obeisances to Krishna. But then Akrura thinks, prior to that I have something else to do. As soon as I get to Vrindavanam, I'll see Krishna's lotus feet markings on the ground, in the sand. As soon as I see that, I'll fall down there and start rolling there. This is how Akrura was feeling the ecstasy of seeing Krishna, and that pure attachment for Krishna, free from all other material desires. That is what the beauty of Akrura's devotion is. Akrura was so attached to Krishna that when he gets to Vrindavan, the first thing he wanted was to roll in the ground all over. And to feel that happiness that I have been able to touch Krishna's lotus feet markings in the ground, that happiness. Secondly, when he gets to see Krishna, he will fall on the ground first of all. And normally when you pay your obeisances, you are supposed to say who you are and pay your obeisances. That's the system. But I'll say to Krishna that I am Akrura and I'll pay my obeisances to Krishna. And when I pay my obeisances, Krishna and Balaram will wake up, get up, and call me both from either side, my hands, and ask me to get up. And then they will embrace me. When they embrace me, I do not know what will happen to me. Akrura says, I do not know what will happen to me. Exactly like Kundi Devi said to Panjali, Draupadi and Uttara Devi, that when Krishna comes, till that time you should hold me, Kundi Devi said. But the moment Krishna comes, I will hold Krishna. Then you can leave me. This was what is going through Kundi Devi's mind. At that moment, I don't need any support. Kundi Devi was very, very old by then. That mother who has gone through so much distress all along their life with the Pandavas, this has happened in the Rajasuya sacrifice when Krishna came to see Kundi Devi. So, at that moment, Kundi Devi felt a certain degree of happiness and tremendous devotion in the heart. Exactly the same way, Akrura was also going through his mind what will happen when he sees Krishna. So with all these things going through Akrura's mind, Akrura completely forgotten where he was going. He was sitting in the chariot and the chariot was driving him in so many different directions. It was not going to Vrindavanam. It was going elsewhere. And it was going somewhere else afterwards. And this whole 10 kilometer from Mathura to Vrindavan, it took for Akrura nearly 8 hours to get to Vrindavan. So you can see what was happening to Akrura. Akrura's mind was so absorbed in Krishna in two different ways. As I mentioned, one wheel of the chariot was, when I see Krishna, what will happen? As soon as these thoughts were going through, suddenly it also came to his mind, will Krishna see me? After all, who am I? I am a demon as well, because I am the servant of a big demon here. And the purpose for which I am sent there is to get them here so that he can kill them. And you can see the way the mind works. Mind will take you in one direction, oscillating all the time. One moment it will tell you this is the right thing going to happen. The very next moment it will go in the opposite direction. And in another way, it will tell you a different story.
This is human mind. Human nature is like that. This is why it is called Manorajam. Manorajam means the chariot called mind. The chariot of the mind. Which is actually driven by the five horses. The five senses. That's what it is driving. So, our Akrura, when he got there, when he started thinking in this way, the chariot was going in another direction. Chariot was going somewhere else, and he was thinking at that time, what will happen to me when I get there? Krishna may not see me. Krishna will find out that I have come for this purpose. And it is possible that Krishna may not see me and talk to me. Then what will be my situation? So, then he will again come back to the original thought. It will not happen because Krishna will not do that to me. After all, he is my brother's son and Vasudev's son. And I have always wanted to take shelter of Krishna. The devotee's mind oscillating this way, that way, this way, that way. So this went on like this. And by evening, about 4, 5 o'clock, Akrura arrives in Vrindavanam. Actually, this whole of Akrura's story is full of instructions to devotees. Why it is important? Because if you look at this particular experience of Akrura, Akrura got into the chariot and his mind is moving both ways, up and down in either direction. And this five, the best chariot he had, after all, Kamsa's chariot cannot be an ordinary chariot, isn't it? It has to be the best one. And that has been given to him, and he could not make the journey of 10 kilometers in half an hour or 15 minutes. Rather, it took 8 hours for him to get there. But then who brought him to Vrindavanam at the end? The interesting thing here is, Akrura never took any interest to drive the chariot all the way to Vrindavanam. Ultimately, the horses brought him there to Vrindavanam. They brought him to Vrindavanam after 8 hours. There is a very great message in this incident in the Bhagavatam. Vedavyasa Maharshi and Sukadeva Goswami, both of them, kept that secret in the Bhagavatam for other acharyas to find it out from that. And that is why great scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam has found out one important message from this incident in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that message? The message is this, that all of us, every devotee in this world who is sincerely seeking after Krishna, wants to go after Krishna, they will start their journey at some time in life. Maybe when they are young, 20, 30, 40, doesn't matter. When they have started, as and when they have come to know that they have to take Krishna shelter, they start the journey. And the journey goes on whole life. They are searching, going here, going there. Many instances, so many different problems are coming also in spiritual life. Temporary problems. Problems that sometimes disturb the mind, sometimes unable to execute Krishna consciousness due to different reasons. Whatever it may be, the prarabdha karmam or there are various things that stops a person in making advancement in Krishna consciousness. All those things will be there in life and they'll come and hold back our own spiritual life. But we are also got the same five horses in us, that five senses, which are equally bad. They would not know which direction to go. And the driver of these horses, the charioteer, our mind, is also driving us crazy in all directions, isn't it? The mind also is driving us crazy whole life. Sometimes it tells you, this is good for you. Sometimes it says, no, this is better for you. And you are chasing this, chasing that. When you look back, you realize all this chasing was a waste of time. Nothing has come out of it, except that you are chasing like a mad person, whole life, chasing after some illusory happiness. That is what you are chasing after. So after all this chasing, one day, Sudeva Goswami says, exactly like Akrura's horses and the chariot took him to Vrindavanam, Krishna's arrangement is such for a devotee, at the end of his life, he will get to Krishna. This is the guarantee what Sudeva Goswami wants to give it to the devotees. Devotees should not give up spiritual life under any circumstances. Because once you start this journey back to Krishna, it is like exactly like Akrura's journey to Vrindavanam. If the devotee is sincerely following in this route of thinking about Krishna and serving Krishna, and surrendering to Krishna and following the process rigidly, associating with devotees and offering obeisances to Krishna, one day that chariot will get you there, get to that place. It may take some time. That is not going to happen in a year or two. You have started the journey, but at the end of the journey, it has to get there. By that evening, that is why that evening is signifies. Very evening of that particular day, Dwadashi day, Akrura arrived in Vrindavanam. Why that evening? Exactly like, what is the evening for us? Evening is the end of life, isn't it? Our end of life, the last few years in life, that is the evening of the life, which we do not know when that will happen. One day it will happen. Everybody has to one day face with that. There is no question about that. And at that point, all the other illusions that has been driving us, Maya's different activities, up to that point you are busy with all the other activities in this world also. This life, that life, family life, spiritual life, all kind of life, social life, everything is going on. But at some point in time, the curtain will fall and you have to face that. We all have to face that. And it was then that what have we done throughout life? A devotee has struggled very hard, served Krishna with his best capacity. And he always thought very often in his mind, where is this train going? Where is it going to end? Who does not get this thought? Every devotee will get this thought. Day after day, you are getting up in the morning for Mangalarati, chanting your rounds and following the principle strictly and trying to keep away from the association of non-devotees and studying Srimad Bhagavatam and paying your obeisances to the deity. And this way, one is developing, trying to develop some relationship with Krishna throughout life. And one day, it has to come to an end. And that end is exactly like Akrura's journey to Vrindavanam. It is one of the finest examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam to tell the devotee that he should not give up spiritual life under any circumstances. In order to tell us this thing, Sudeva Goswami has taken the Srimad Bhagavatam two full chapters to discuss the Akrura's. Out of the 335 chapters, two chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam is this Akrura's journey to Vrindavanam and Akrura's meeting with Krishna. So you can see how much importance Sudeva Goswami has given to this journey of Akrura to Vrindavanam. It is one of the most important things to remember that Akrura should inspire the devotee. Akrura was also like us, engaged in serving a master whom he didn't want to serve. Most of us don't want to serve any of the masters in this world, but we are forced to serve due to circumstances. But that doesn't matter. Even in that circumstances, if you act like Akrura, Bhagavatam says there, that Bhagavatam says very clearly that Akrura's life was such, it was always to surrender to Krishna, Dasya Bhakti. And Akrura has proven that at the end of the day, you will get to Krishna. Krishna will make the arrangements in that way. This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a guaranteed process. There is no question of failure in Krishna consciousness. Temporarily, there will be so many problems will come and disturb a devotee's mind. But a devotee has to know to keep himself going against that. And ultimately, with the whole objective that at the end of the day, I have not wasted my life. This is the, for everyone else, it is a waste of time. That we know. You may have made millions of dollars in this world. You may have built industrial establishments with multinational corporations you would have built. But at the end of the day, he is also bound by the laws of karma. He is not, cannot escape from that. This is the reality of this world. Krishna consciousness is the science of the soul's movement from one body to another. Krishna consciousness tells us what is the highest objective in or the goal of life in this world. And for to illustrate this, great devotees like Akrura and Srimad Bhagavatam is showing us the way. So what else has to do? A devotee has to do. Devotee has to follow the footsteps of Akrura. So you have seen here two things. First thing, Akrura is teaching us how to prepare to go and see Krishna, as he did. One should prepare one's mind exactly like Akrura has done. The very thought of going and seeing Krishna. Secondly, how to be fixed up in the journey in traveling back to Krishna. In spite of all the disturbances, what was that was happening. Thirdly, Akrura is in Vrindavan now. Akrura has arrived in Vrindavanam. when he arrived in the Vrindavanam 4 o'clock, around 4 o'clock, 4, half past 4 maybe, that time Krishna and Balaram has finished their pastimes. They're tending the cows that day. They have brought the cows back and calves also. And they were all tied down. Mother Yashoda and others were milking the cows in the front of the house. Yashoda's house, Yashoda was milking the cows. Krishna and Balaram has by now finished their day's routine. And they were staying with, watching Yashoda milking the cow. And some other gopis also were milking the cows there in front of Nanda Maharaj's home. So when this was happening, that it was then that Akrura has arrived in Vrindavanam at that time. So there are some very, very, touching scenes in the Bhagavatam at this point. That was the last day Krishna has taken the cows in Vrindavanam to tend them, to look after them. You can imagine, Krishna knew this. Balaram knew this. Nobody else knew this. None of the cowherd boys knew. None of the gopis knew. Mother Yashoda didn't know. Nor Nanda Maharaj knew that this was the last day of Krishna's looking after the cows in Vrindavanam, which were so dear to Krishna. And that cows and calves, they didn't know that was the last day Krishna will take them to the forest to look after them. So in other words, when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, when you read through these chapters, it is a little bit upsets a devotee that Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavanam is coming to an end. Because it is in Vrindavanam, Krishna has spent the best time, the first 11 years, almost 11 years is Krishna has spent in Vrindavanam. And in this 11 years, Krishna has exhibited some of the finest pastimes and the time he had spent with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, as well as the gopis and all Krishna's friends, cowherd boys, everyone, even the cows and the calves, they were all so attached to Krishna. And today it was the last day that Krishna will not be going again to the forest. Little they knew that Krishna won't be coming back again to see them. None of these things were known to them. Anyway, that day came to an end, and it was that evening that what has happened was, when Akrura arrived there, Akrura saw Krishna from the distance. What did he see there? Krishna was walking around with one small pot in the hand, because he wanted to milk straight. He wanted to drink the milk as soon as Yashoda has milked the cow. And so Krishna was only 10, 11 years old. You can see at that age how they are. They were very busy acting, Krishna and Balaram, both of them. And Yashoda was milking one after the other the cows. And at one point, Krishna was saying to Yashoda, don't keep milking the cow to such an extent that let leave something for the baby also to drink. So you can see, when you milk the cows, Krishna's concern was that she should milk the cow to only that much what was sufficient. But she should leave something for her calf also. Like this, Krishna was making different suggestions and wandering around there and talking to Yashoda, very busy at that evening. All these things, this is the scene in front of Mother Yashoda's house. So when we get to that stage, Akrura arrives there. When Akrura arrived there, Akrura, as soon as he saw Krishna's lotus feet marking on the ground, Akrura fell down on the ground and started rolling in the ground. He started rolling in the ground. Actually, this brings us also into another interesting memory. When Srila Prabhupada came back from America first time, Prabhupada had two devotees with him, two disciples, Hayagriva and Achyutananda. They both came with Prabhupada. And obviously, coming from America and not knowing about the mood of Vrindavanam, except that They have heard from Prabhupada about Krishna and Krishna's activities. They have read Krishna book. So you can imagine, all along the flight they were thinking about Vrindavanam. After reading about Vrindavanam in Krishna book and hearing from Prabhupada that they were coming to the land where Krishna has performed his childhood pastimes, naturally it had its own impact on them. They were not Akrura, but they were in an Akrura situation like this. Somehow they had come to Vrindavanam. So they asked Prabhupada that what should we do when we come to Vrindavanam first times? And the example Prabhupada gave to both of those devotees was Akruras. How you should approach Vrindavanam anytime if somebody asks you, what should I do when I go to Vrindavanam? This is the mood of a person when he goes to Vrindavanam. The mood of going to Vrindavanam should be like Akrura. That every dust in Vrindavanam is Krishna's lotus feet has touched there. So Prabhupada said to Hayagriva and Achyutananda that first thing you do is fall down on the ground and pay your complete obeisances. Take the dust and put it on your head. Because of the, we cannot understand Vrindavanam. For ordinary people, it looks the same as the any other dust in this world. What is the difference? The dust in the moon, the dust in the earth, the dust in Vrindavanam. Everything looks like same to. Maybe we'll think the dust in the moon is more expensive to get. That's the way we look at it. But transcendentally advanced devotee souls who are attached to Krishna, who see Krishna's hands in everything, and this abode of Krishna which has come from Goloka, the Supreme Personality's abode, Supreme Personality of Godhead's abode, that abode is somewhat different. That is why in Srimad Bhagavatam you will find Aho Bhagyam Aho Bhagyam Nanda Gopa Vrajaugasam Yen Mitram Paramanandam Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. Aho Bhagyam Aho Bhagyam. Who is saying this? Lord Brahma is saying this. Aho Bhagyam Aho Bhagyam. What a great fortune, he says. Aho Bhagyam Aho Bhagyam Nanda Gopa Vrajaugasam. Nandamaharaj's Brajam and that land, what it is, Yan Mitram Paramanandam Purnam Brahmam Sanadhanam. That Supreme Personality, Supreme Brahman, is there in Vrindavanam performing his pastimes. Brahma is saying this. Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha Yasam Harikadodgidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam. Srimad Bhagavatam. Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam. Nanda Vrajastrinam. That means the gopis of Vrindavanam. Padarenum Abhishnasham. That the dust in Vrindavanam is touched by their lotus feet. Their feet has touched that dust. Therefore, in Yasam Harikadol Gidham. Because why these glories are, gopis are so great? Because they have all the time sung the glories of Krishna. That was their greatness. Because they sung like that, Punadi Bhuvanatrayam, the whole world has been purified by their singing the glories of Krishna. You can imagine how great the who is doing this in this world except devotees. Who else is glorifying Krishna? No one else is, everyone is busy with exploiting the material nature. Who has got the time to glorify the Supreme Personality who has provided all this material nature for the living entity? And this is the difference. That the devotee sees everything that has come from Krishna. That Yen Mitram Paramanandam Purnam Brahmam Sanadhanam Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha Yasam Harikadol Gidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam. Bhuvanatrayam, all the three worlds are purified by the dust from the Krishna's lotus feet and so as the gopis. So, in that mood, Prabhupada said to the devotees, this is how you enter Vrindavanam. When you enter Vrindavanam, keep Akrura's consciousness. Akrura is our guide in that direction. Everything, when you put your step first time before that, that dust has to be honored exactly like Akrura has done. And that's what Akrura has done. Akrura rolled over the ground, thinking, seeing Krishna's lotus feet markings on the ground. Akrura was in such an ecstasy, he could not control himself. And then slowly he approached Krishna. As soon as he saw Krishna and Balaram, he forgot to say that I am Akrura paying my obeisances. He was supposed to say that, but he didn't say that. He just fell down on the ground. on the ground, first paid obeisances to Balaram based on the age. Balaram is elder. And then he paid his obeisances to Krishna. As he expected, Krishna and Balaram looked at Akrura and said to Akrura, "Uncle, you have come," and held both hands from either side. Expressed, Akrura was expecting this to happen and lifted Akrura from there and embraced Akrura. Krishna and Balaram only 10 or 11 years old and they were embracing Akrura at that moment. So, it was at this point Akrura mentions to them that I am Akrura, come, and Akrura was crying. Akrura could not control himself. That the very thought person whom he wanted to see all along his life is standing right in front of him. You can imagine what does that mean to Akrura, because Akrura is a devotee. Akrura is a devotee, and Akrura was crying. And Krishna and Balaram somehow pacified him to come home and took him to house inside. When he got inside, they performed the normal offering of Madhuvarkam and other formalities, what one has to complete with a guest. They have done all that. Nanda Maharaj also came. And Akrura was obviously really in hunger, hungry, because he hasn't eaten any Ekadashi and Dwadashi day also. But that didn't bother him at all. He was still enjoying the association of Krishna and Balaram, and all kinds of thoughts were going through his mind. So when he was sitting there, when they received Akrura there, they washed his feet and respected him in every possible way. Krishna and Balaram started speaking to Akrura. They were trying to talk to Akrura. And prior to that, they had a nice feast for Akrura organized. And Akrura was obviously wanted to eat. And Krishna and Balaram arranged the prasadam for Akrura. And Nanda Maharaj was there with them at that time. After the feast, so Nanda Maharaj was sitting with Akrura and Krishna and Balaram. And they did not talk very much at that point. After Akrura came back, Nanda Maharaj went to take his prasadam inside. So when Nanda Maharaj went away, Krishna and Balaram turned to Akrura and said to Akrura, "Akrura, what is happening in Mathura now? What's happening to my parents, father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki? What's happening to them? Are they reasonably okay? Because of me," Krishna is saying to Akrura, "that they had to suffer so much in under Kamsa's control. Kamsa had given so much trouble to them because of me," he says to Akrura. Akrura wasn't saying anything, was keeping quiet. "What's happening to all the Yadavas there?" Krishna says to Akrura. "What's happening to all the Yadavas there? Are they all, Kamsa is torturing them all?" Akrura kept quiet. Then after that, he says, "Sarvam varnayamasa," everything, "please tell us in detail," he says to Krishna says to Akrura. So at that point, Akrura started speaking to Krishna. You have to remember that Kamsa has told Akrura only to invite Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd men, Nanda Maharaj and others, for this Dhanuryagam. That's all he has been told, not to say anything else. That's all. He says you should keep these things secret, rest of the things. But what did Akrura do? Akrura told him everything. Akrura told Krishna that Nanda Maharaj wants you and Balaram there. And I know what the plan is. And saying this, he has started crying. Tears started coming from his eyes. He couldn't believe that this man, Kamsa, this personality, had this plan behind it and he was using him. So Akrura was very disturbed because he was thinking, if I do this for Kamsa, what will happen to me? Because I am also equally part of the plan, isn't it, project. So how can I escape from this? So what did Akrura do? Akrura thought, he has told me not to say so many things. I will say everything to Krishna, he says. If I say everything, then I don't have anything to worry about it. Because although I have promised Kamsa that I won't say part of it, I mean, now I'm going to break that promise, but I'll say everything to Krishna, and then whatever happens after that, let it be. That was Akrura's attitude. Akrura was like that. Akrura's nature is like that. Sometimes There are many interesting examples for this in our own life also. If you look at it, you will find it. The Akrura's heart was such that he couldn't say to Krishna. But actually, when he started saying to Krishna that this was the plan is like this, that they have arranged a wrestling match, Chanura and Mushtiya, who are going to fight with both of you. When he said that, Balaram smiled. Balaram could see the devious plan behind it, Kamsa's plan. And as you know, Balaram is also a very straightforward person. It's not like Krishna. Krishna is not straightforward. He's never straightforward. He's always keeping things behind. Always keeping things behind. Balaram is straightforward. So as soon as Akrura mentioned about Kuvalaya Pitam, the elephant, how it will be kept outside the building to receive Krishna and Balaram when they came, and the intention is, with this elephant Kuvalaya Pitam, they are going to kill Krishna and Balaram. If that not doesn't happen, then Krishna and Balaram, when they come in, Chanura and Mushtiya will deal with them properly. All these comes as plans. Akrura was stating this to Krishna. And when this was spoken, Balaram started smiling, thinking his plans, such big plans Kamsa had. And when he was smiling, Krishna looked at Balaram and told him to keep quiet, not to break open anything straight away. Because Balaram sometimes cannot stop himself, he will react to it very strongly. And Krishna says to Balaram to stay quiet. And he found out that what the whole details of the plans, everything were. By now, Krishna has decided now what to say to Nanda Maharaj. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj came back after the prasadam. When he came back after the prasadam, first thing Krishna did was, he spoke to Nanda Maharaj that Akrura wants, Kamsa has invited all of us to come for a big festival. Krishna is saying to Nanda Maharaj. So Krishna, as usual, say, completely kept the whole information behind, didn't reveal the whole plan. Nothing was mentioned to Nanda Maharaj. On the other hand, what did he say to Nanda Maharaj? Krishna is saying to Nanda Maharaj that Kamsa has sent a chariot with Akrura to invite all the cowherd men and yourself, Nanda Maharaj, to come for this big festival. And you should bring as much as possible all the gaurasam. Gaurasam means like milk, butter, cheese, yogurt, ghee, everything. As much as possible for this festival. Because from the cowherd men, that's what you can get. That's their main produce, isn't it? So that was the system those days for farmers who were having agriculturists. They'll ask them to bring vegetables and rice and wheat and everything. And for those who are from the Vaishyas particularly, this is what was expected. So they said this to Krishna, says this to Nanda Maharaj. And after that, Krishna added also that Kamsa has told that we too can come. Krishna and Balaram can also come if they want to witness this this wrestling match and this festival. Can we also go? Krishna puts it to Nanda Maharaj like this. Krishna was cornering Nanda Maharaj that he couldn't say no now. Because the way Krishna spoke so sweetly to Nanda Maharaj, that that Krishna has arranged in such a way that Nanda Maharaj automatically said, yes, we can all go. That was all he wanted from him. He wanted these few words to come from Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj said this, and as soon as it was spoken, then immediately Krishna wanted the announcement to be made to the whole Vrindavanam. All the gopas and cowherd men should go know these things, isn't it? Just like the example is given like this. Akrura's nature, once it so happened that the one king, in the olden days, the king had the right to punish. They had full authority to punish someone if they wanted to. So somehow or the other, a king came to know that someone has bribed somebody after doing some crime. He has committed a crime. Someone has committed a crime and he has bribed a witness who has seen the crime. He has bribed the witness and told the witness that if you are called as a witness by the king, you should not tell the truth. And he gave some money to this person, to the witness. I'm just talking about Akrura's nature. There are people like that in this world. Not that everyone is calculative and devious. This personality, Akrura, was so open-hearted about his in his life because of his pure devotion for Krishna that he said like this to his this particular person. After committing the crime, he told one Brahmana who witnessed this crime, what he has done. And he told the Brahmana, "Look, Brahmana, I give you some money, but if you are called as a witness, don't say that you have witnessed this, and say whatever you want, but don't get me in trouble," he said to the Brahmana. Brahmana didn't say anything. Actually, it is difficult for the Brahmanas also to tell lies, but they are not used to it, and they don't have that habit also. And so he got hold of the wrong person. So eventually, the king, ultimately the day came for the judgment. He called this person who has committed the crime. The whole process came up. The whole judgment, what was to be given. So at that time, he called the witness, this Brahmana, and said to the king, "Brahmana, you have to tell the truth, what has happened." The king said to him. The Brahmana stood there and told this person who committed the crime, "Look, man, you are in trouble. I can't tell you anything now. I have to tell the truth, because he's asking me to tell you the truth, to say the truth here. So I have to tell the truth." This is how the Brahmana's mind was, that they were not accustomed to telling lies. It is one of the Shamonabastapashaujam Shandirarjavamevaja Jnanam Vijnanamastikyam Brahmakarma Sabhavajam. That truthfulness is a part of that life. That is the Brahminical quality. So he did not say anything. He has to just tell the truth, what he has seen. So this little bribery did not change him, affect him. So our Akrura is like this. Akrura also said, "This is all what Kamsa has told me, but I am telling you now what he wants to do. Now it's up to you and Kamsa, between you, decide what you want to do." Saying this, Akrura kept out of it. So this sort of situations can happen. And Akrura mentioned this to, and Nanda Maharaj decided, and he made arrangements to announce in Vrajam that night, whole night, the whole announcement was made that next day morning, Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men are going to Mathura for this big festival. And while going to the festival, what will happen is that Kamsa has invited all of us to come and bring as much as possible all the milk products like butter, cheese and everything. So they should load everything into their carts and be ready in the morning to go. This was the announcement. Along with them, Krishna and Balaram are also going to see this festival in Mathura. This was the announcement made. So when the announcement was made, all over in Vrindavanam, there was a different experience, different feelings for the people who heard this announcement. The whole night, the cowherd boys were busy in loading the cart with different things. They all were very excited to go to the city. After all, going to the city is a big thing for them, isn't it? Mathura was a much bigger city compared to Vrindavanam. Vrindavanam is a village. And there were ordinary people from the village. You can still see even now when village people come to the city. Even in England, what to speak about elsewhere. That from up north, from villages when they come, it's a day out for them, the big city of London. So it fascinates them in different ways. There are things which they don't see in their own places. So similarly, that excitement was there for the villagers from Vrindavanam when they were going to see the city of Mathura. And they were also feeling that they were being invited for this big wrestling match in Kamsa's palace, which they are getting an opportunity to see. And naturally, they have fully prepared themselves. And along with that, Krishna and Balaram was also very excited to go for this festival. So that night, they slept. Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, didn't know that was the last night that her boy, Krishna and Balaram, will be with her. And you can imagine Mother Yashoda's heart at this time, how it will be. She had no clue, but she was all the time throughout night thinking about Krishna and Balaram had to go tomorrow to Mathura. Krishna and Balaram had to go, so they have to be properly, everything has to be organized for them. So naturally a loving mother was thinking about their food first. What will they eat when they go? Because for a mother, there is no other food except her own preparation that will suit the children. Everything else for her doesn't matter. Anything else, nothing matters in this world. So Yashoda planned the whole night, preparing food for the early hours. She has to get up and prepare the food for them and pack everything and give it to Akrura to take care of them. So this whole night was planning for what food to cook for Krishna and Balaram. Because in her mind, she was thinking, they'll be back in 2 days or 3 days after the festival. And she was, the first time in her life, she was going to feel separation from Krishna at night. Up to this time, Krishna was there back every night. This 11 years time, every night Krishna has spent the time with them. And this is the first time, first night, and Yashoda's mind was working in all directions. When will Krishna come back? What will happen to him? Who will look after him? All these kind of different thoughts was going through Yashoda's mind. So, at that point, that Krishna was getting ready to go. And in the morning, Yashoda Devi got up and organized everything. The prasadam, everything for them to take on their way to Mathura. So, that is where that stops. At the same time in the morning, there was something else going on in Vrindavanam. When the gopis came to know about this decision, Nanda Maharaj and others, cowherd men, that they were going to Mathura, they could not sleep that night. None of them could sleep. They were experiencing, they heard these announcements, and throughout night they were standing in different groups in different places and they were discussing about it. And that's a long discussion in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will go through that individual verses, what each gopi has spoken at that time. And that discussion went on, and gopis were feeling that separation, that they are going to be separated from Krishna. That night, gopis have spoken, they have cursed everyone. They have cursed Brahma, they have cursed Akrura, they have cursed Akrura's father also. Not one person they have left that night, they have cursed everybody. Why? Because as far as they are concerned, if you read that verses in the Bhagavatam, we'll go through that verses separately. You will see there what an amount of attachment they had for Krishna. They could not bear that. Because in this life, for these gopis, there was nothing else except Krishna. And for a second, as you saw in Yugla Geetam, that when Krishna, after the Rasa dance, when Krishna started going to the forest, gopis sat together and they were feeling the separation from Krishna, who was in the forest tending the cows. And they were singing the glories of Krishna. By now, gopis' heart was so attached to Krishna, nothing could separate them from, take them away from Krishna anymore. That stage is over. That stage is over. They have come to that perfectional stage in Krishna consciousness that there was no other material thoughts coming to their mind anymore. They were performing their activities, day-to-day activities, only because that the activities had to be performed. But apart from that, they had no interest in that. The whole mind was so absorbed in Krishna that the gopis were finding it extremely hard to think that they are being separated from Krishna. And there is a lot of discussion among the gopis. Many, many verses explain there what the gopis planned at each stage. But we will leave at that. Come back to Vrindavanam again. What's happening with Mother Yashoda? Mother Yashoda, the next day, morning, got up, prepared everything for Krishna and Balaram, and bathed Krishna and Balaram. She bathed them also. And they were bathed so nicely and put on all the best clothes. Mother was feeling that my children should feel happy when they are in Mathura. They should look good when they're... Hardly she knew that that was the last time she will get the opportunity to bathe Krishna. This was the last opportunity Yashoda had to bathe Krishna. You can imagine what that mother's mind will be. She didn't know that, but later on, she is reflecting on all these things. Every single day, how she spent with Krishna, day after day after day, it was all coming back to her. And the last day, when Krishna left, there was not even saying a proper words were not spoken. Krishna has told all of them, I'll be back in 2 days. I'll be back in three. As soon as the festival is over, I'll be back with Balaram. This is what Krishna has told all of them. He has told the same thing to Yashoda Devi. And Yashoda Devi's concern was that when she brought one hand holding Krishna, another hand holding Balaram to the chariot, she handed over these two boys to Akrura. And she said to Akrura that these boys are from the village. They don't know how to behave in the city. City, village people know, is everyone crooked? All city people in the villages calculations are devious and everyone is trying to cheat. And all these things Yashoda Devi also knew. So Yashoda Devi said to Akrura that you have to take special care of them in the city because they don't know how to move around. There will be big traffic, lot of people, and these two boys from our village, they don't know how to act in the city. So please take care of them. And continuously Yashoda Devi was giving instructions to Akrura how to look after Krishna and Balaram. And all the prasadam, what she has packed in different packets for Krishna and Balaram, what time it should be given to Krishna and Balaram, what Krishna eats, what Balaram eats, what they like, all these kinds of things Yashoda Devi was saying to Akrura. And Akrura was thinking in his mind. Akrura was unable to control anymore. He was feeling so guilty that seeing the condition of Mother Yashoda, seeing the condition of the gopis, Akrura was thinking, what a nonsense I am doing. I am taking them to Kamsa so that Kamsa can get a chance to kill them. And I can't say this to, because the moment I say to them, there will be a big scene here. Nothing will happen and the whole mission will fail. On the other hand, Akrura again in his mind paid his obeisances to Krishna and said, now you have to decide what is best. I don't know what to say anything anymore. Akrura was struggling hard to control his own emotions. At some point, some tears came from Akrura's eyes also. Akrura was crying. Akrura was crying, Mother Yashoda was crying. What to talk about the gopis? Gopis were in such tears, they have not slept the whole night. There were constant discussions going on how to stop this journey. This was the plan. So, ultimately you can see when Mother Yashoda handed over the two children to Akrura, they were put in the main chariot, in Akrura's chariot. Nanda Maharaj and others, the only consolation what Mother Yashoda had was that Nanda Maharaj is going with them, so that should be okay. After all, the father is there. The mother always feels like that. The father is there, at least the children will be safe. At least someone who will... They won't trust anybody else, only except the father. Sometimes they may trust some close people, but normally it is difficult for the mother to hand over the responsibility to someone like that. So anyway, the father was going, but because of all the different produce they were taking with them, They had arranged other carts also, bullock carts, in which they have started the journey to Mathura. So when they were journeying to Mathura, here they could see that the gopis won't allow them to go. Gopis won't allow them to go. Krishna was sitting in the chariot and watching the scene all around, what was going on. Mother Yashoda's mind, the different gopis, how they were thinking about it. All the other cowherd boys, not everybody could go. Some of his friends, old friends, with whom he had spent years in the forest playing, all these childhood pastimes, what we were discussing in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they were all those friends were there. So he was going to be separated from them as well. All these thoughts were going through Krishna's mind. Sudev Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam at this point says something about Krishna. that normally this kind of situation is very difficult for anyone to experience in life. That 10, 11 years old boys, they are leaving their mother, they are leaving their friends, and they are leaving their whole the community. The community in those days is not like today. They were very close in their relationships for various reasons. First of all, they were all engaged in the same occupation. That is, their engagement was looking after the cows. That was their happiness. And they lived such natural and simple life in Vrindavanam that they were very affectionate and close to each other. Not like the modern society. All our relationships are through mobile phone. Sometimes I have experienced this. You are standing and talking to somebody. His mobile phone rings. He stops talking to you and goes with the mobile phone elsewhere to talk. So this is what we have come to today. Our relationship becomes so far from each other that we find difficult to stand each other and talk to each other. We have to send it through text message or emails or through mobile. This is the only way we can now. We have got the sixth sense now after what Krishna has given. The five senses through which we have to communicate now to each other. Because openly we can't face each other. We have so many problems in our own mind. But we are very comfortable on the mobile talking hours together. All glories to BT. So this is human life. Huh? This is our life today. This is not Vrindavana consciousness. Vrindavana was not like that. They didn't have mobile phones. They did life. They had a life where human reactions, interactions were so good that everyone has human feelings. For bhakti, all disease are factors which affects one's life. Otherwise, how would you understand Mother Yashoda's feelings? We'll sit like stone and listen what Mother Yashoda felt at that time. To understand Mother Yashoda's heart, you have to see that atmosphere of that village in Vrindavanam, how they related each other, how the cowherd boys related with Krishna. And at that particular time, the heart of the gopis, how they felt the separation from separation from Krishna. So when this is all going on, Krishna is sitting in the chariot and Krishna was looking at them. And at some point Krishna said to Akrura, "I can't stand this anymore. We have to go," he said. Krishna said to Akrura to start the chariot and go faster, as quickly as possible. And at that time, Akrura had to take the instructions. He also could not stand anymore. Look at them anymore. So he drove the chariot faster from there, as quickly as possible. When Akrura left, gopis all stood there and looked at Akrura. First of all, they could not see the chariot anymore because of the dust from the road that was coming out. And then after that, the chariot had a flag. They could not see the flag after that because the chariot was getting further and further. And after that, they could not see Krishna and Balaram anymore. By now, the vision has completely gone from their mind. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular seed, when it is discussed there is a prayers there from the gopis. One of the most beautiful prayers in the Bhagavatam. And also you will find there are some comments from the great devotees about Krishna at that time. When Lord Ramachandra had to send Sita Devi to forest, isn't it? At the end of Ramayanam you will find Uttara Ramayanam finishes with this particular scene in the what happened to Sita Devi. When Sita Devi was sent to the forest at the end, Ramachandra asked Lakshmana to take next morning Sita Devi and leave her in the forest. She was pregnant with Leva and Kusha. And that whole night, out of fear for Dharma, Ramachandra took that decision to send Sita Devi just because somebody has spoken about Ramachandra something, and Ramachandra took that very seriously, and in order to make sure that he could not afford to have any remark about from anyone of his subjects, Ramachandra decided to send Sita Devi to the forest. So that whole night, Ramachandra could not sleep. thinking about this decision. After the decision was given to Lakshmana to take her, Ramchandra cried. Because to send Sidadevi in that condition to the forest, and thinking about it, Ramchandra's heart was affected. He was feeling that separation from Sidadevi to such an extent that Ramchandra cried. He shed tears. On Uttara Ramayanam, you will find this. If you read very end of Uttara Ramayanam, the separation of the of Sidadevi from Ramachandra is very touchy, and it affects anyone who reads it. So, but here, Krishna has left here 1100 million Sidadevis there. All these gopis were attached to Krishna in the same way like Sidadevi was attached to Ramachandra. And what was the mood of Krishna while leaving? He was smiling. He was smiling. He was smiling when he was going back to Mathura. This is why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That even after staying 11 years in Vrindavanam, Krishna knew my mission is over here. Purpose for which I spent 11 years in Vrindavanam, the business is finished. And when he was satisfied that the goal has achieved, Krishna walks away from there smiling. No attachment anywhere. This is Krishna. If you know why Krishna is called Bhagavan, Bhagavan, one of them is Aishwaryasa Samagrasya, Viryasya Yashasashriya, Jnana Vairagyam. That Vairagyam of Krishna's Vairagyam or detachment from everyone. Total Nisangatvam. Nisangatvam means no connections anywhere. And all Yashoda Devi, Krishna felt that she has come to the perfection in her spiritual life. As mother, the highest attachment she has built up for Krishna. With every single gopi in Vrindavanam, also had come to their perfectional stage in Krishna consciousness. There is no more forgetting Krishna in their life. When they have reached that stage, Krishna has realized, my presence is not required here anymore. My pastimes in Vrindavanam is over. I have to move on to Mathura and Dwaraka. Mathura pastimes in Mathura and later on for the pastimes in Dwaraka. This is why Krishna is called the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That he has no attachment anywhere. He has no attachment anywhere. He knew the gopi's heart. What only to bring this attachment in their heart, Krishna has performed this 11 years of pastimes in Vrindavanam to bring up the gopis from their material conditions, material consciousness, to pure spiritual consciousness. From there, they will not fall anymore. Krishna was absolutely sure before he left Vrindavanam. And that is precisely the reason why at this point when Krishna was going, he was smiling. Nobody knew why Krishna was smiling. Nobody knew. Why Krishna was smiling? Krishna was smiling because the mission is accomplished. Gopis and Yashoda Devi, they had their greatest fortune that they have got developed this complete attachment for Krishna from which they will not fall back again. So when Krishna was assured about that, he has decided to leave Vrindavanam. That is the point they were leaving. So you can see how the relationship between Krishna and the devotees are. Krishna goes from there to Krishna goes with Balaram in the Akrura, is driving the chariot, and they are on their way back to Mathura. So on the way back, Akrura stops the chariot halfway. When they arrived in the Yamuna river, Akrura says to Krishna that he has to perform his Sandhyavandanam. Sandhyavandanam are the three Sandhyas, morning, middle of the day and the evening, which Akrura performed very rigidly. He says to Krishna that I have to perform Sandhyavandanam ceremonies. Krishna says, fine. Akrura stops the chariot. All this time, Akrura was suffering in his mind. What am I doing? What am I doing? I'm taking, what will happen there? The fear that they're, after all, they're only 10 or 11 years old boys. And what will happen to if the, anything happens to them, what will I say to Yashoda? What will I say to the gopis? All these things were happening. In the middle of these things, something else happened. All the gopis were standing and they had discussed a lot of it, what to do with Akrura. We will discuss that separately because it's a chapter in itself. But prior to the, when the gopis were talking to each other, and when Akrura gave, when Krishna gave the final instructions to Akrura to drive the chariot immediately, Akrura drove the chariot very fast at that point. Very fast, because Krishna says, if you stop the chariot, they'll come and they'll give me trouble. So best thing is to get out from here as quickly as possible. So Akrura drove the chariot very fast. Unfortunately for Akrura, that was a very sad thing to do. Because of that, Akrura did what Krishna told him to do. All the gopis felt very hurt. So hurt, unfortunately, one gopi mentioned at that time that what you have done, you drove this chariot so quickly from us, away from us. One day, you will also experience what separation from Krishna means. And many of the commentators are saying that because that this came out from one gopi by accident, you can say like that. Sometimes out of her strong emotions, she spoke like this. One day, you will also experience what separation from Krishna means. What separation from Krishna means. And that is exactly what happened to Akrura. That you will also know how you will feel when you are separated from Krishna. After many, many, many years, one day, Akrura had to leave Krishna. Akrura had to leave Krishna. And he had to go from Dwaraka to Kashi. He went and lived in Kashi. He had to live there many years away from Krishna. And the opinion of all the commentators is that this was because that gopi has spoken like this. That has happened to Akrura like this. From this you can see that if you hurt devotees any time, if you hurt devotees any time, that will come back to your spiritual life in one way or the other, another time. That is a very important message Akrura's situation is showing to us. And how did that happen? It comes in the Bhagavatam later. Akrura had, in one instance, Krishna and Balaram, they went to Hastinapur, and Satyabhama was in the palace. Satyabhama's father, Satrajit, who was a friend of Akrura, and Akrura had a friend by name Shatadhanva, and also the commander-in-chief Krutavarma. They were all friends together. Often they met with each other, same age group, all Yadavas. So they were friendly to each other. So Satyabhama's father, Satrajit, had this valuable thing known as Samantaka jewel. We spoke about it last Sunday. So it so happened that Satyabhama was promised in marriage to be given to Shatadhanva. Shatadhanva was going to marry Satyabhama as per the arrangement. Satrajit has promised to marry Satyabhama to Shatadhanva. Now, it so happened later on that Satrajit went with Satyabhama, got married to Krishna. That is whole story is there in the Bhagavatam later. So when Satyabhama got married to Krishna, and Krishna was away in Hastinapur, one day Krutavarma and Shatadhanva and our Akrura, they sat together and they were talking to each other. And this Akrura, just out of fun, said to Shatadhanva like this, Why did you not marry Satyabhama? Why Satyabhama, Krishna has married Satyabhama? Like this. So Shatadhanva was feeling a little bit upset about it. That Akrura, Satrajit has done this to him. Although he was promised in marriage to Satyabhama. But Satyabhama didn't want to marry Shatanya. Satyabhama wanted to marry Krishna. So naturally Krishna has accepted Satyabhama as his wife. But when Akrura, for no reason, he felt a little fun out of it, to poke him and to see what he says about it. So Kṛtavarma went and Akrura together masterminded this whole thing to agitate Shatanya's mind. They took it in a very light-hearted way. They were only making a joke out of it. But unfortunately, Shatanya could not understand the joke. He took it very seriously. They were only making a joke to Shatanya that why Satrajit married Satyabhama to Krishna, although he promised her to you to marry. And is it not time? So Shatanya asked that what should I do? He says, what should you do? You should find out what to do. The thing is this, that Satrajit had a brother whose name was Prasena. This Prasena has gone back to the, left this world. That is what has happened to Prasena. Why Satrajit is not following him, he said. That's all they said to him. Why Satrajit is not following Prasena? This is what they put it to Shatanya. Shatanya's mind got completely absorbed in this and he understood that there is a message in what they have said. Perhaps they want me to take revenge on Satrajit for breaking his promise. Maybe Satrajit should also follow Prasena to the... Satrajit should also die. He thought all these things. And after they talked to each other all this, it was afternoon, 5 o'clock or so, Akrura went to bathe in the river to perform his... Akrura never thought that what he has done was going to cause such a disaster afterwards. Shatanya immediately made up his mind that I have to make a decision now about this. Satrajit goes to Satrajit's house straight away. And he killed Satrajit there in his house. Took the jewel from there, the Samantaka jewel, and comes back to Akrura's house. And Akrura by now has finished all his evening ceremonies, everything, and he was sitting at home. And this Shatanya comes and tells Akrura that he has gone and killed Satrajit as per his instructions. He has put the whole blame on Akrura and Kṛtavarma for this. And saying, Akrura said, I have nothing to do with it. I have joked with you, but you have gone and done such a thing. He says to Shatanya. Shatanya also didn't know what to do. He threw the whole jewel into, Samantaka jewel into Akrura's house inside and ran away from there and tried to escape from there. Because they knew Satyabhama will come to know about it. Once Satyabhama comes to know, the next thing, she will get Krishna here. And once Krishna comes, that's the end of it. There will not be any more discussions after that. So, first of all, Shatanya ran away to Vidarbha and then later on to Mithila to escape from there. But Akrura got this jewel now. So they started thinking, Akrura started thinking, perhaps people will say that I have done this through Shatanya to get this jewel in my hand. Because Samantaka jewel everybody wanted. Its power was so high that every day 8 kilos of gold was produced by that jewel. Every day. So much wealth. So then Akrura discusses with Kṛtavarma. And together they decided that the best thing is to run away from here now. And they took the Samantaka jewel, Akrura and Kṛtavarma ran away to Kashi, all the way from Dwaraka, to escape from Satyabhama and Krishna. Just see how things are. Akrura was a devotee, you can imagine. A devotee and who has been crying to see Krishna for years. And ultimately, you can see from Akrura's travel Akrura's travel to Vrindavanam, how much he wanted to see Krishna. How much he wanted to see Krishna. And here, you see the same Akrura now is running away from Krishna. And not for one or two days, 6 long years he had to stay away from Krishna. Why did this happen? In spiritual life, there are certain things on which one has no control. And one of that thing is called the mind. The mind is such that you will see in the Bhagavad Gita also, and in Srimad Bhagavatam also, Krishna is telling us, one who wants to advance in spiritual life, what one should do with one's own mind. If these things are not under control, senses and the mind particularly, shamam and damam, it's called. Shamodamattabaschaujam shandirarjavamevajam. So that shamam and damam, shamam means control of the senses. Damam means control of the mind. These two things are an absolute necessity for a devotee who wants to advance in spiritual path. But even after, with your best effort, you try to control the mind will escape sometime. And it will show its true color. And this is what the mind has done in Akrura's case also. You can imagine the Akrura situation. So many years he wanted to see Krishna and to be with Krishna and serve him. And that devotee, after so many years, is now trying to run away from Krishna. What a contradiction. Just imagine how things can happen in spiritual life. Sometimes we say, one devotee has fallen down. Another devotee has fallen down. We say so many things about devotees like this. In our own mind, we speculate so many things. But when this situation happens, that you have come to Krishna, you have seen Krishna, you have a relationship with Krishna, you want to develop Krishna consciousness and want to be a good devotee, and the next moment this mind is telling you, run away from Krishna. What will happen then? What is your situation then? Imagine that. All your life you spend to become Krishna conscious. And just at the time of death, the mind is telling you, forget about Krishna consciousness, do something else. Is it not true in my life also? How many times the mind is telling you to do something different in this world? I'm sure every one of us must have felt at some time or the other. At least I've heard many times from many devotees, and I have also felt many times. It is a fact of life that mind is such. It will always tell you, this is the power of that, power of mind. Durjayana mahammana, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam. Of all the things to win over in this world, the most difficult thing is your mind. Nothing else. Durjayanam ahammana. Krishna says, I am that mind. Most difficult thing to control in this world. It tells you one thing today, tells you exactly the opposite thing tomorrow. That's what you should do. So, this is the nature of the mind. So, this Akrura's unfortunate situation, that he had to run away from Krishna for 6 long years. And all what has happened after that. But Krishna has not forgotten his devotee. Devotees will do a lot of nonsense in their life because this mind is controlling them. And in that process they will commit all kinds of offenses also to Krishna. But still Krishna's mercy is unlimited. It flows continuously. He wants to bring the devotee back to him again. So that story comes later in the Samantaka jewel story. It comes in much more detail. So why I was saying this was that Akrura was feeling at this moment in this way, on his way to Mathura, that what I am doing now to Krishna and Balaram is not right. That if this happens to me, what will be my fate? Akrura was thinking. So he stopped the chariot, went into the Yamuna river, and when he went into the Yamuna river, that the next thing what happened was, he thought that I will not come back. I'll go down in the water and kill myself. He went into the water. Krishna and Balaram is sitting in the chariot at that time. When he went into the water, first thing what he saw there, inside the water, Krishna and Balaram sitting there, Krishna in the form of Mahavishnu and Balaram in the form of Adishesha lying there, Mahavishnu lying there inside. When Akrura saw this in this water, he could not believe it. He came out and started looking in the chariot whether they are still there. When they looked back, Krishna and Balaram is sitting there. Akrura went back again and he saw Krishna and Adishesha Bhagavan there. By now, Akrura was in ecstasy, seeing Krishna there like this. Whole hair was standing up and the whole body was showing all the emotions of a devotee's experiences. And when Akrura came back to the chariot, Krishna made a joke of it. Krishna says to Akrura, "Uncle, are you feeling very cold in the water?" Is that why all the hair is standing up? He says to Akrura, "Kimushi dalime jalo mahan." Krishna's words are beautiful there. Are you feeling the cold of the water so much? That's why your hair standing up. Krishna is saying to Akrura like this. Akrura didn't know anything. Just paid his obeisances to Krishna and Balaram there. And in the whole chapter 40 in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Akrura's prayers to Krishna. Very famous prayers known as Akrura Stuti. Akrura's prayers like Kundi Devi, like Bhishma Vidamaha, like Prahlada, and like so many other great devotees, our Akrura is offering his prayers to Krishna. That is where that scene ends. But prior to coming to that, we just have to read through this, and we also have to discuss that what gopis talked about Akrura. That is the most interesting part in this thing. And they are very, shows that how different things in life can, when it comes to the bhakti process, can become effective. This is what it shows there. And you will find here in this whole discussions there that gopis had different feelings. Nanda Maharaj had different feelings. Yashoda Devi had different feelings. All of them have done things, spoke different things. But everything becomes perfect when it comes to Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada used to say, you may have so many zeros, no value for any of them. Unless and until you put one in before all these zeros. If you put one before all the zeros that follows increases its value. Similarly, material life also, in our human relationships, even in our day-to-day living, we have all kinds of emotions and feelings in our mind. But still, when all these things comes in relationship with Krishna, that becomes perfect. That is what all these incidents are showing. The gopis' different emotions, Nanda Maharaj's emotions, Yashoda Devi's emotions, Akrura's emotions, they are all like ordinary personalities. They have different emotions and they are committing mistake after mistake in different ways. Circumstances are forcing them to do different things. In spite of all that, they still have become advanced in Krishna consciousness because everything was in relationship with Krishna. That is the beauty of that. That unless and until, if we give up, unless and only we relate ourselves with Krishna, our activities of this world, it is going to be not going to become perfect in its own. Otherwise, you will find every activity what you perform in this world eventually become perfect because it is in relationship with Krishna. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So, in order to illustrate that fact, all these things are spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I'll just read these two chapters and then we'll talk about the gopis. It was the gopis' last vision of Krishna before Krishna went to Mathura. We'll start with chapter 37 now.
श्रीशुक उवाच केशीदुगं सप्रहितर्घुरैर्महीं महाहयो निर्जरयन्मनोजव सधावत वधूदब्रविमानसङ्कुलं कुर्वन्नभो हेषितभीषिताखिलाः विशालनेत्रो विकटास्य कोडरो बृहल्गलो नीलमहाम्बुदोपम दुराशया कंसहितं चिकीर्षुर् Vrajam sanandasya jagamakam bayan.
This is the arrival of Keshi.
Tam trasayandam bhagavan svagokulam tadheshider valavikur nidam budam Almanamajo mrgayandam agrani rupahvayal savyanadal mrgayandraval sadam shamyabhimukho mukhenakham पिबन्निवाभ्याद्रवदत्यमर्षणाः जघानपद्भ्यामरविन्दलोचनम् दुरासदश्चण्डजवो दुरत्ययाः tadvanjayitva tamadhokshajorusha pragrihyadorbhyam parividhyabhadayoho savatyamul srijyadanushadandare yadhoragam tarshasuto vivastitaha salabdhasamya punaruthidorusha vyadayageshi tarasapadadharim sopyasya vaktre bhujamuttaram smayan praveshayam asayadhoragam bile dandani vedur bhagaval bhujaspusha stekeshina staptamaya sprusho yatha bahuscha taddehagado mahalpana mahalpano yathamaya sambavrathe mubekshidah samedhamanena sakrishna bahuna niruddhavayu charanam shavikshivan prasvinna gatra parivrtalochanah papadalendam visrajanshidavyasum adyadehada karkadiga phalobhamal vyasorabhakrishyabhujam mahabhujam avismido yatnahadarirul smayai prasunavarsher divijairabhishtudah devarshiruvasangamya bhagavada pravaronupa klikkashnamaklishtakammanam rahasyedadabhashadam.
So this is the 10 verses after Keshi was killed by Krishna. Krishna put the hand into Keshi's mouth and started expanding there. And Keshi felt terribly suffocated by Krishna's hand. And when he beat Krishna's hand, it felt as though he was beating some iron. And all the teeth fell off. And that was the end of Keshi's life. It was then that Sri Narada Maharshi came to see Krishna. And Om Keshavaya Nama, he pays his obeisances to Krishna. Narada Muni comes to see Krishna. And this time, from now on, another 14 verses are Sri Narada Maharshi's words to Krishna. What did Narada Muni says to Krishna at this time? Narada Muni says to Krishna like this, that I have come to see you because your pastimes in Vrindavanam is finished now. You have to now perform these pastimes. On such and such a day, Kamsa will get killed. After that, all the Chanur and Mushtiya will be killed. And all the other things, what Krishna has to perform in Mathura, everything in sequence, Narada Muni has spoken now in the next few verses. You will see that.
Devar Shiruva Sangamya Bhagavada Pravaronubha Krishna Maklishta Karmanam Rehasyedada Bhashadam Krishna Krishna Prameyalman Yogesha Jagadishwara Vasudeva Akhila Vasa Satvadam Pravara Prabhom. That is how Narada Muni was paying his obeisances to Krishna and saying this. Krishna Krishna Aprameyalman Yogesha Jagadishwara Vasudeva Akhila Vasa Satvadam Pravara Prabhom. Narada Muni is addressing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and requesting him to now to move on. Tomalpa Sarvabhudanam Ego Jyotirivaidhasam Gudokukashaya Sakshi Mahapurushamishwara Atmanatmashraya Purvam Mayaya Sasraje Gunan Tairidam Satya Sangalpa Sarajasyalsya Vasishwaraha Satvam Bhudara Bhudanam Dashdaitya Pradapramadharakshasam Avadirno Vinashaya Sedunam Rakshanaya Cham Dishtyade Nihado Daityo Lilayayam Hayakriti Yasya Heshita Sandrasta Sajatyandamisha Divam. Then Narada Muni congratulated Krishna for killing the Keshi demon. Chanuram Mushtiyam Jaiva Mallananyam Shahastinam Kamsam Janihadam Drakshe Parashohani Devibhom. That from now on you will have to kill Chanura and Mushtiya after that. And after that Kuvalayapidam also has to be killed, and later on Kamsa on the day after tomorrow. I'm going to see all these things. Today Akrura will come. He is in mentioning to Krishna about Akrura's arrival. Just see, these great sages, Narada Muni and all that, they have the complete knowledge of Krishna's different activities, what for which they have come to assist Krishna in these pastimes. And in that process, they also become a participant in these processes. Tasyanu Shanghayavanam Uranam Narakasyaja Parijada Abaharanam Indrasyaja Parajayam. Then after that, you will kill these. After Kamsa is killed, you will kill Panchajana, that demon.
and then Yavana, then Mura, and Naragasura. All of them will be killed, and eventually you will go and steal Parijadam from the heavenly planets. Indra will come to fight with you, and you will defeat Indra also.
Udvaham Miraganyanam, Virashulkadi Lakshanam, Nargasya Mokshanam Shabal, Dwaragayam Jagalpadeyam.
That you will kill, you will also give liberation to Nirgam, Nirgamoksham, as it is mentioned. He was cursed, and that liberation of Nirgam will also be performed. Virashulkadi Lakshanam, that there was a system in those days that one who has got the valor or courage, heroic courage, that they will be given the girl in marriage. That was the system among the Kshatriyas, among most of the kings, that you will also perform such heroic pastimes that they will marry the girls to you. That means predicting about Krishna's marriages to them, Krishna's marriages to all these different Krishna's important major wives.
Semandagasya jamane adanam sahabhariya mradaputra pradanam ja brahmanasya sadhamada.
That then he talked about Krishna's next plan will be to marry the daughter of Jambavan, who is Jambavati. Jambavati will be married. And also talked about the stealing of Samantaka jewel and Samantaka jewels, how that will be donated. And also at the same time, that Krishna will also bring back his teacher, Sandivani Muni, his son, from the Kalaviri. Kalaviri means that is the place the son was taken away, who died before. They'll bring him back from there, hand over to Sandivani Muni again.
Paundragasya vadham paschal kashivuryascha divanam dandavatra sindhanam chaidyasya jamahakradam.
That you will kill Paundraga Vasudeva later, and you will also go and burn the city of Kashi. And at the same time, in the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira, you will also kill Shishupala and Dandavatra. In other words, almost all of the major pastimes of Krishna is mentioned there.
Yani chanyani viryani dwaragama vasan bhavan kartadrakshyame hamdani geyani kavibhirbhuvi athade kalarubasya kshabayishnoramushyavai achauhini namnidanam drakshyame arjuna sarade.
Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says here, you will become the charioteer of Arjuna, and using that opportunity, you will destroy all the kings and who have become irreligious in their life, and complete their armies will be destroyed there and establish religious principles again on this planet.
Athade kala rubasya kshabayishno ramushyavai akshauhinam nidhanam drakshyami arjuna sarathe vishuddha vijnanaghanam swasamstaya samapta sarvartham amoghavanchidam swadejasa nitya nivartamaya gunapravaham bhagavanda dhimahi.
Then Narada Maharshi pays his obeisances in two verses.
Tvamishwaram swashrayam alpamayaya minirmidashesha vishesha kalpanam kridartham adhyatham anushya vigraham nadosmidhuryam yadavrishni sattvadam.
That in these verses that Sri Narada Maharshi is glorifying Krishna in different ways and pays his obeisances again and again as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Shri Shugavaja evam yadubadim krishnam bhagavada pravaromini pranibathyabhyanityado yayautad darshanolsavam.
Then saying this, Narada Maharshi paid his obeisances again on the ground to Krishna, and Krishna was very pleased with Narada Maharshi and allowed him to go. Narada Maharshi took permission and left. So you can see Narada Maharshi's activities are just there to assist Krishna to complete.
Bhagavan Abhigovindo Hatva Keshinamahave Pashuna Balayad Pale Prideva Sukhavaham Egadade Pashun Bala Shara Yandro Drisanushu Chakur Nilayana Krida Shorevala Obadeshada Tatrasan Kadiji Chora Pala Shakadjinruva Meshaida Shadatrege Vijakura Gudo Bhayam Maya Butro Mahamayo Vyomo Gopala Veshadrek Meshaidana Vovaha Prayas Choraido Bahun.
It was then that there was another expert demon. Keshi was killed now. Vyomasura has come, and he has come dressed as a cowherd boy. And he came there and he tried to steal many of the cowherd boys from there. He wanted to take them away. He took them away from there and took them inside a cave and put them in and locked the cave from outside.
And he locked them inside, put them all inside and locked it from a big stone. He closed the cave.
Giridhariyam vinikshipya nidam nidam mahasura shilaya apithade dwaram chadu panchavasheshidaham.
That one after the other, he took the cowherd boys, put into the cave, and they couldn't come out and closed them with a stone. Only four or five cowherd boys were left behind.
Tasya dal karma vijnaya krishna sharanadasadam govanayandam jagraha vrgam haririvavujasam.
That when he heard, when they heard that, when Krishna heard and found out that the cowherd boys were taken, Krishna could not bear that anymore. Straight away found out, and just like a lion takes the wolf from there, and Krishna caught hold of him, and with the highest power he held Vyamasura in his hands.
Sanijam rubamasaya girinda sadashambali ichan vimoktumal manam nashaknol grahanaduram.
When Krishna caught him, he changed his dress and became a very huge monster-like form he took. Vyamasura took that form. He could not escape from Krishna's hold. Krishna held him very strongly, very tight.
Tam nigrihyachido dorbhyam padayitva mahidale pashyadam dividevanam pashuparamamarayal.
Then all the demigods were looking at from the sky at that time like a sacrificial cow. Immediately he killed him by suffocating him. That is how the animal is killed in sacrifices. In the sacrifices, animals are killed by suffocation. Of course, the animal activists will protest about that. But when great sacrifices are performed, the yaga pashu or the cow or the horses, according to the type of sacrifice you perform, when the animal is brought into the sacrificial arena, that the sacrificial, the process is such that eventually after chanting all the mantras, the particular animal gets a higher body immediately after leaving the body. And when they kill the animal, they kill the animal by suffocation. So few years ago, not long ago, 1975 or 74, this incident happened that there was a great sacrifice performed. Two professors from United States, they came to find out whether all these Vedic mantras have any power. They wanted to find out. So one of these professors, Fred Stoll, I think that was his name, you will find in the book of Science of Self-Realization, their correspondence with Prabhupada about the chanting process, so many things. Professor Stoll, he was a professor at the University of California in Berkeley. And he had his another person with him. They together came over. For a long time, they were engaged in studying the Vedic mantras and their ability to how powerful they were. So in order to test that, they were willing to spend the money to perform a sacrifice for this reason. So they performed a very famous sacrifice known as Adhiratram. So for an Adhiratram sacrifice, both these professors who came, they spent the whole money for it. The purpose of the sacrifice was that they had to perform the sacrifice on a season when there were no rains, and they had to bring the rain at that time. That was the intention. So they approached these brahmanas. They have all left this world now who performed their sacrifice. They approached them and told them that they would like to perform this sacrifice and to test the power of the mantras. And those brahmanas who were chanting these mantras, they agreed to perform the sacrifice, and for the purpose of the sacrifice, they had to get a goat who had to be killed by suffocation in the sacrifice. When this whole announcement came, the whole state was at that time very curiously watching the newspapers and television and radio. Everybody was reporting about it, and the brahmanas had no difficulty in doing that. Because they had a complete faith in the mantra, that the mantra will eventually liberate the goat after the sacrifice was performed. In the Vedic literature, Vedic tradition, Kamandam, you will find so many different sacrifices mentioned like that. This Professor Stoll and his friend, they came, and when this issue became very critical, the newspapers started reporting, and by now, the animal people who object to killing animals in a merciless way, although they don't object killing animals in the slaughterhouses, that's okay. But animal activists, as they are called, they came upon the scene. And they started protesting that the goat should not be killed like this, by suffocation. So there was a long discussion in the paper, based on the Shastra, by the Brahmanas. They continued discussion this topic for a long time. And eventually, in order to please them, they had to say to them that you will perform the sacrifice made from rice flour and water mixed together. They performed a goat with rice flour and water. They mixed together and made the form of a goat for the sacrifice sake. And the Brahmanas were so sure that even after chanting the proper mantra, they were still able to bring the rain on that day. And we had all these photographs in the newspapers at that time, that they, Professor Stahl and others, they were there with, they had a team of people. They had all their cameras and all fully focused. And when the sacrifice started, it lasted for about 20 days or something. And at the end of the sacrifice, the last ceremony is, when the sacrifice is finished, the personality who led the sacrifice process, he has to set fire to the to the pandal, or where the sacrifice was performed. And as soon as the pandal was set fire, then the result has to come automatically. It was the month of February, when it normally never rains. And when this thing happened, and after the sacrifice was completed, where they used even the goat with the rice flour they have made, because of the protest from the people, they had to use that. And after that, when they set fire to the pandal, to Professor Stahl's surprise and other surprise, it started pouring in. The rains fell so strongly that Professor Stahl agreed at that point that these mantras are not from this world. He had to agree that. That was his statement in the newspapers all next day. How he accepted that the knowledge in the Vedic system is far, far higher than any knowledge in this world. The power of the mantras, all the great sages have. Who is the originator? Krishna is the originator. All Vedic literature is coming from Krishna. Only thing, it was revealed through different sages, through Upanishads. All the Vedic mantras has come from Krishna. Just like scientists are inventing things, similarly, the sages have also invented by their, just to show the authority of the Vedic literature. It is just mentioned as a, in relationship with this, how these things are still powerful when it is taken seriously. So you can see that here we find guha nidhanam nirbhidyam. So yagapashu, that is the tam nigrihya chido dorbhyam padayitva mahitale pashyaram dividevanam pashubharam amarayal. Sudeva Goswami says here that Krishna killed Vyomasura just like the animals are killed in the sacrifice by suffocation. That is how they are killed. Yagapashus, the animals in the sacrifice are killed by suffocation. So here it says Yamasura was killed exactly the same way. It may look very cruel, isn't it? That you should have killed him by a gun or something, rather than killing someone by holding. But the transcendental knowledge is different. It's a different way of seeing things. Guha nithanam narbidya govan nisari krichada suyamanam surer govo pravivesha sogogulam. Then Krishna went in, opened up the cave and took away all the, brought out all the cowherd boys from there and relieved them from their distress. And this is the last day of Vrindavana pastime. Krishna is, from that day Krishna has not gone back again to tend the cows with the cowherd boys. The last day when the cowherd boys experienced Krishna's friendship in Vrindavanam. And that day they caught the, they brought the cows back home. Shri Shuka Vajam Akruro Bhidadam Ratri Madhuburiyam Mahamadi Ushitva Rathamastaya Prayayaunanda Gokulam. Then Akrura is coming. Gachan Padi Mahabhago Bhagavat Yamujayakshane Bhaktim Param Bhagada Evameda Dajindayal. Then we are talking about Akrura's mind, how it was. Kim maya charidam badram kim taptam paramam tava kim vada apyarhade dattam yadrakshyam yadyageshavam. That Akrura is saying here
that kim maya charitam bhadram, what have I done to get to this situation that Krishna has been, I have to go and see Krishna tomorrow. How did kim daptam paramam tava, what tapasya or austerities have I performed to get to this stage. Kim vadha pyarhade datam, what have I given in charity. Yadraksham yadyageshavam, why am I able to go and see Krishna? He was analyzing his own life, why I am qualified. Because you see, they all had the understanding that in life you become qualified first. I should do something so that I become qualified and I'll be able to get it. This is their understanding. So Akrura is asking this question himself, what have I done to become qualified like this? Mama idat durlabham manyam uttama shloka darshanam shayalpano yatha brahmam kirtanam shudra janmana. Mama idat durlabham manyam uttama shloka darshanam, such a rare scene, how did this happen? Vishaya Alpano Yadha Brahma Kirtanam Shudra Janmanam, that I have no chance of seeing Krishna because I am a Shudra, he says. Like a Shudra, Shudra has no chance of chanting the Vedic mantra because his mind is always attached to sense gratification. That is Shudra's life. What is a Shudra? How do you call someone as a Shudra? One who is working hard whole day to acquire wealth, to acquire sense gratification, and to protect it and to increase it. When one is constantly engaging in such activities, he is a Shudra. This is how it is. So Shudra's definition is there in that. Vishaya Alpano Yadha Brahma Kirtanam Shudra Janmanam. One whose mind is always absorbed in sense gratification, or in other words, making plans for sense gratification. This is Shudra's life. Shudra's plan is always like this, that I have to earn more, acquire more, and then protect it afterwards, and then to increase it again. Like this is making plans. This is Shudra's life. So this Shudra Janmanam is like this. So he is saying here, Mama idat durlabham manyam uttama shloka darshanam, that Shudra has no chance of studying Vedic literature or reciting the Vedas. So if it is like that, it should be like that for me also. How can I see Krishna? Because I have been serving this demon Kamsa for so long. And what is that I have become so qualified to go and see Krishna? Akrura himself is a little bit surprised about the situation. Maivam mamadhamasyabhi syadeva chudadarshanam kriyamana kalakalanadhyam kujitaradikaschanam mama adhyamangalam nashtam phalavam shevame bhava yannamasye bhagavado yogidhyayangri mangajam kamsobadadhyagadamethyanugraham drakshengri balpam pahido munahare kridavadarasya duratyayam thama purvedaranyan nakhamandalatvishaham. So mama adhyamangalam nashtam phalavam shevame bhava yannamasye bhagavado yogidhyayangri mangajam. Even the great yogis don't get this opportunity to see Krishna like this and to pay their respects to him. They struggle very hard to absorb Krishna in their heart, and it is so difficult for them. And what have I done to this things to happen like this? This is what Akrura was thinking at that time. That Kamsa badadhyagramethi anugraham, that why Kamsa is so merciful to me? Why is he giving this mercy to me? Drakshangri palpam prahido munahare kridavadarasya duratyayam tama purvedaranyam nakhamandalatvisham. Then like this, Akrura's mind is constantly engaged in then thinking about his own good fortune. Yadarchidam brahma bhavadi visure shriyaja devya munibhissa sattvadai gocharanaya anujare ischaranvane yad gobiganam kuchakum gumangidam. Then he is meditating. This is the devotee going to see Krishna. He is thinking about Krishna's lotus feet. How that lotus feet will be. He is discussing, thinking about that lotus feet. I mentioned this before, that Krishna's lotus feet is such. Brahma, Shiva and so many other great, great personalities, they are always worshipping that lotus feet, Krishna's lotus feet. And I am going to have a vision of that lotus feet. That is what Akrura was thinking at that time. Drakshami noonam sugapola nasiyam smidavalokaruna kanchalojanam mukham mugandasya gudalaka vradam pradakshinam me prajanandi vai mrugaham. Then Akrura is thinking about Krishna's face. Krishna's face, how beautiful it is. He is meditating on Krishna's face, Krishna's different looks, Krishna's eyes, Krishna's
smile and Krishna's hair and Krishna's cheeks, all these kinds, all these different parts of Krishna's body, Akura is thinking about Drakshyami Nuvinam Sukapavalanasiyam Smidavalogaruna Kanchalojanam Mukhamugandasya Gudalakapadam Pradakshinam Me Prajarandi Vaibhragam. Then Apyadya Vishnu Anujatvami Yushom Bharavadaray Bhuvo Nijechaya Lavanya Dhamno Bhavidobalam Bhanam Ahyam na nasyal bhalam anjasa drishaham. Then Akura is meditating on the whole body of Krishna, how he is going to see. In that verse also you will find, and you read through that, how the process of meditation of Krishna, how the yogis meditate, starting with first with the lotus feet, and then part by part right up to the lotus face. And then the meditation of Krishna's nose, Krishna's eyes, and Krishna's cheeks, Krishna's hair, Krishna's smile, and always Krishna's that merciful eyes. All these things one has to meditate on. And tasya akhilami vahavi sumangaler vajovi mishram gunakarma janmavi pranandi shumpandi bunandi vai jagal yastad virakta shavashobhana madham. Then thinking about Krishna in detail much more, that how I will relate with Krishna, that a lot of things mentioned there are that who is Krishna? After all, he is the super soul himself. And also that why Krishna is performing all these different pastimes except to give us some mercy. Otherwise, what's the need for this? And different things are going through Akrura's mind. Sajavadirna kila sattvudanvaye swasedu bala amaravashya sharmakral yasho vidanvan mrujamastam ishwaro gayandi deva yadashesha mangalam tam twadyanunam mahadam gadim guram trailokya gandam dushiman maholsavam rupam dadhanam shreya ipsidaspadam drakshema masam nushasa sudarshana. Drakshema Masandunusha Sushasa Sudarshanaham. Then talking about Krishna's position, as he is the personality who is the lotus feet is the place where everyone wants to reach at the end. And Krishna's beauty is attraction to everyone in this world. Such a big festival as seeing Krishna. And I will see Krishna today. He is confirming that himself. And he also had some many omen to give him the indication that he is going to see Krishna. Adhavaruda sabadi vishayo taradhal pradhanavam socharanam solabdhaye dhyadridam yogi virapyaham dhruvam namasya mabhyam jasakhin manaugasam. That as soon as I get out of the chariot, first thing what I'll do is I'll fall on the ground and pay my obeisances. Apyangri mule padidasya me vipo sharasya dasyanna jahastamangajam Dathabhayam galabhujangaram hasa prodvejidanam sharaneshinam nranam. That Krishna will hold me by his lotus hands. He will take me up and I will offer everything to Krishna. And Krishna will put his hand on my head and give me some and bless me. That is what he was thinking. The devotee's feeling of seeing Krishna. Samarhanam yatra nidhaya kaushikam sadabalishchavajagatra yendradam yadva vihare mrade yoshidam shramam sparshena saugandhiya gandhyamanudal. Then, how Krishna is going to bless me. Krishna gives liberation to devotees. And those who worship Krishna for opulences, Krishna gives them also the opulences. And those who want complete relief from material existence, Krishna gives that also. All this is done by this Krishna's hands. And from that hand, Krishna will put it on my head. Namayu vaishyateri buddhi machyuda kamsasya duda prahido abhivishyode yondarbheshya jasa edadihidam kshetrajna ichatyamalena jatshusham. And then again, mind is going in the other way. What will happen? Will Krishna receive me or not? And the various arguments inside the mind, these thoughts are going back and forth. Aphyangri mule avahidam kradanjalim amishidasasmina vardrayadrisha sabadyavadvastha samastagil visho odhamudam vida vishangamurjidam. That when I stand in front of Krishna in full devotion and full humility and with folded hands, Krishna will smile at me and will look at me with his lotus eyes.
സുഹൃത്തമം ജ്ഞാതിമനന്യ ദൈവതം ദോർഭ്യാം ബൃഹൽഭ്യാം പരിരപ്സതേ തമാം ആത്മാഹിതീകൃതീത ദൈവമേ ബന്ധശ്ച കർമാത്മകമുച്ചസിത്യതാം. Then, because I am Vasudev's brother, and I am sure Krishna will embrace me, no doubt about that, and he will hold me very tight. Labdhvanga sangam pranadam kadanjalim, avakshade kruya tadetyadu shrava, tadavayam janma pradho mahiyasa, naivadrado yodhikamusha janmadal. At that time, Krishna will address me, hey akrura, hey tata. Like this, he will address me, and he will start talking to me, he will start asking me about everyone. ന തസ്യ കശ്ചിദ്ദൈത സുഹൃത്തമോ നജാപ്രിയോ ദ്വേഷമുപേക്ഷമേവ വാ തഥാ വിഭക്താൻ ഭജതേ യഥാ തഥാ സുരദ്രമോ യദ്ദുപാശ്രിതോർത്ഥതാം. And these are normal activities among the living entities that friends has to be embraced and inquire about their welfare. And is it wrong to expect that Krishna won't do such a thing? These kind of thoughts also came to Akura's mind. After all, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he is Supreme Personality of Godhead, will they be talking in acting in a different way? These thoughts came. Kinchankra Joma Amaradam Yadutama Smayan Varishto Jagrihita Manjalo Griham Praveshapta Samasta Salkaram Samprakshadekam Sakutam Sobandushu Shri Shukavajam Iti Sanjindayan Krishnam Shafalkadana Yodhvani Rathena Gopulam Prapta Suryaschastagirim Nruva. By this time, it was the sun was setting. And it has taken the whole day to get to Vrindavanam. It is also pointing out that even if you lose the track in spiritual life, in the devotional science, in devotional process, in Bhakti Margam, Krishna will ultimately make sure that this chariot also, which is our material body, is also eventually take us to Krishna's lotus feet. That is, that verse is saying that. പദാനി തസ്യാഖില ലോകപാലം കിരീട ജുഷ്ടാമലപാദരേണ ദദർശ ഘോഷേക്ഷതി കൗതുകാനി വിലക്ഷിതാന്യ അബ്ജയവാങ്കുശാധ്യേഹി. Then when Akrura got there, he saw the marks on the ground of Krishna's lotus feet, different marks on Krishna's lotus feet. Yavam angusham, the lotus, and the other marks also. തദ്ദർശനാഹ്ലാദ വിവൃദ്ധ സംഭ്രമം പ്രേമനോർധനോമാശ്രുകുലാകുലേക്ഷണ രഥാദവ സ്കന്ധസതേഷ്വജേഷ്ഠത പ്രഭോരമുഞ്ഞംഗ്രജാംസഹോ ഇതി. At this point, that Krishna, Akrura jumped out of the chariot. He did not look anywhere. And only thought in his mind was, this dust is from Krishna's lotus feet. Let me take full advantage of it the first time. Slowly, instead of coming out of the chariot slowly, he jumped out from the chariot straight away onto the ground. And sitting from there, he jumped onto the ground. So much devotion has built up by now inside. Thinking about Krishna. This is what happens when one engages in thinking about Krishna continuously. Eventually that attachment will build up. Deham pradami anartho hitva dambham priyam shujam sandeshadme yohare linga dashana shravana adhibim. That why Akrura did not think about it, if I break my hands or legs or anything. No such thoughts came to Akrura's mind, because Akrura has completely forgotten that he has no relationship with the body at that moment. That simply he wanted to just roll in the ground where Krishna's lotus feet has touched. And Dadarsha Krishna Ramam Ja Prajay Godo Hanam Gado Pida Neelam Bharadharo Sharadam Buru Hekshanam. That from now on, for another 5 or 6 verses, that Krishna and Balaram, how they were seen by Akrura. Kishorau Shyamala Shedau Shriniketau Prakalpujau Sumukhau Sundaravarau Baladvirada Vikramau Duja Vajrangushambhoje Chinirirankriyaru Prajam Shobhayando Mahalmanam Anukroshasmidekshanau Udara Rujirakridau Sraginau Vanamalinau Pundegandhanu Liptangau Snadau Virajavasasau Pradhana Purushavadyo Jagadhedu Jagalpadi Avadirno Jagatyarte Swamshena Belageshavam Disho Vidimidarajan Kurvano Prabhayasvaya Yatha Maragada Shairo Raupyashchakanagajido Radha Turnama Plutya Sokurirasneha Vikvala Papada Charana Opande Dandaval Ramakrishnayom. This is the time after Akrura arrived, that friend of Krishna and Balaram fell down there and paid his complete full obeisances to Krishna and Balaram. Bhagavad Darshana Ahladam Vashvarya Agulekshana Pulakanjidangandha Ukkandhyan Swakhenena Shakandhruvam Bhagavastam Abhipraithiradhaan Gangidapaninam Parirebhya Vibhagritya Pridha Pranadaval Salam സംഘർഷണശ്ച പ്രണതം ഉപഗുഹി മഹാമന ഗൃഹീത്വാ പാണിന പാണിം അനയൽ സാനിജോ ഗൃഹം That Akura and Balaram and Krishna, where Akura was standing there with folded hands, held on either hand and took him home. Prishtu Ada Swagadam Dasmai, Nivedija Varasanam, Prakshali Vidival Pado, Madhu Bakarhana Haharel, Nivedija Amjadiday, Samaheshanda Mandrada, and Nambahuanam Dentium, Shadayo Baharadibu, Tasmai Bukto de Pritya Rama, Paramatamavil, Mukavasis Gandamali, Param Priti Vithadpunam. പപ്രച്ച സൽക്കൃതം നന്ദ കഥം സനരനുഗ്രഹേ കംസേ ജീവിതാശാർഹ സൗനവാലാമിവാവയം യോവധിയിൽ സ്വസുസുസ്തോകാൻ ക്രോശന്യ അസ്ത്രുപുഖല കിം നിസ്വൽ തൽപ്രജാനം വ കുശലം വിമൃശാമഹേ ഇത്തം സൂനൃതയാ വാചോ നന്ദേന സുസഭാചിത അക്രൂര പരിപൃഷ്ടേന ജഹാവദ്ധ പരിശ്രമം ബൈ നൗ ദാറ്റ് അക്രൂര ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ to Krishna and Balaram, that Nanda Maharaj has also come there and they were discussing about all the situation in Mathura with Kamsa. And Nanda Maharaj had also difficulty in asking, knowing very well that the situation was not very pleasant with Kamsa. And at the same time, Nanda Maharaj asked in a very polite way that Akuda was not able to, Akuda did not know even the journey which has taken a whole day to get to Vrindavan. And it was at that time Akura had forgotten all the other distresses in the world. And he enjoyed that association talking to Krishna and Balaram and Nanda Maharaj. And that is where that chapter finishes. And it is in the next chapter, which is the 39th chapter, that we have to discuss a little bit more detail, because it is here that the gopis have come in to discuss about Akura's position. So, Gopi's discussion starts later on. So, we will discuss that chapter next Sunday, because it's a longer chapter. Not be able to finish it. So, we'll do that on next Sunday. And meanwhile, I'll just remind you again about Bhagavad Gita next Saturday. 7:30 to 9:30 here. If you can. Yeah, in the evening. Evening, yes. Here, yeah. Yes. So.
And that's for 26 weeks.
Yes. 25 weeks we have discussed, agreed, yeah. We'll see, yeah. Every Saturday, yeah. Yeah. Hare Krishna. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.